Welcome to Criminal Thinking Deterred with your host, Tony Moore. Here we talk about how to take responsibility for your decisions, stop hurting people, become a positive force in your community, and end the criminal thinking that deters everyone.
All right, and I got a guest today that I'm proud to have, Dr. Nelson from Bethlehem Temple Church, and we're also with my executive director, Philip Day. Today, we're going to continue to talk about the serious issue that we have in our community, this fentanyl use, and how it became so deadly and so devastating to our community. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Galen Nelson. He's a physician assistant, and he has a lot of information that he can share from us from a lot of different angles. So welcome, sir.
Thank you for a brief introduction
about who you are and what you do in your life.
All right. Thank you for having me. And I am always willing and happy to share information that's going to help us, especially from the medical health standpoint. My name is Galen Carlos Nelson. I am a physician assistant practicing over 30 years, and I served in the United States military for 28 years. I worked at the VA. I retired from the Navy after 28 years. I retired from the VA after, I think it was 7.5, what they call double dipping. And then I am now currently contracted with the VA doing disability exams for veterans benefits. And I also have worked with another medical group in Racine doing medical reviews of charts and prescribing medication, specifically controlled substances and things to manage some of their conditions. I am board certified physician assistant. Also, I am quadruple boarded in family medicine, emergency medicine, urgent care, ENT, ear, nose, and throat, GI, and primary care. I also have my DEA, our Drug Enforcement Agency license for prescribing controlled substances. And so this problem with controlled substances, it does not only exist in the world, but it also exists including the Navy, in the military, with the VAs, because people are using certain substances to try and cope, alcohol and controlled substances and the like.
Yeah.
And so I've practiced all over the world. I say it like that because aboard Navy ships, the ship moves everywhere. I've practiced on the East Coast, the West Coast, aboard three aircraft carriers. I entered the Navy first as enlisted, a hospital corpsman. The Navy sent me to medical school, and I completed my education completely through the military and practiced for another 11.5 years in the military before retiring and practicing in the civilian sector. I also worked in the community health clinic in Beloit and in Racine for about 4 years before going to the VA. And so this topic that we are discussing today is very crucial to get out to the people to understand. I believe most do understand, and it is probably, in my mind, the leading epidemic we have when it comes to controlled substances.
Oh.
That was a bit about myself.
Yes.
So,
well, have you had any experience with any of the devastation that is causing? Have there been any talks in military or in civilian meetings that you have in regards to fentanyl?
Yes, mainly the military, not so much, at least during my time on active duty. From 1981 to 2009. However, when I got out of the military, I worked at the community health clinics that I just previously mentioned. And then in 2013, I went to the VA. And so in the VA, there is a lot more there. We're still dealing with military personnel, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, who have gone through traumatic situations. Some of them lost limbs and things of that nature. Some have lost body parts, and just experiencing the war environment and the high tempo of the job in the military. And so a lot of people turn to alcohol, number one. Number two, they turn to controlled substances that are prescribed to them. And so it is a problem not only in the civilian sector, but also in the military and in the VA. The military is becoming more so because of how readily it is available in the streets. And it's a prescribed drug.
So what was the need for fentanyl if you had opiate-based chemicals already? Why was fentanyl such a need and such addictive properties that it kills in? It doesn't take much of fentanyl to kill you.
Right. So just let me give you a little update, kind of a historical sense about fentanyl. Fentanyl being a controlled substance. And in this fentanyl crisis we have, this drug is also goes by the name of duragesic substance, Abstral, and it is prescribed by prescription only. So it is a drug that is only used within the medical world. Mm-hmm. It's used to treat severe pain. So like with opioids and things of that nature, and analgesics used to treat pain is a high risk for addiction and dependency. Now, fentanyl was man being smart. As you previously said, we already had opioids that are made from natural substances, but fentanyl is synthetic, is man-made, man being smart. We made it. So man typically in our world tends to want to make things better and think they can make it work better. But in doing that, fentanyl in its production, fentanyl is approximately 100 times more potent than morphine and 50 times more potent than heroin. Ooh. And this is in a controlled substance, a controlled environment. When we are prescribing it, we know what to prescribe in the specific methods by which it is prescribed, and we know how to dose it as providers. However, because it is so potent, it is causing a problem. So it can cause respiratory distress, death, when taken in high doses, and when it's combined with other controlled substances or other substances such as alcohol and other illicit drugs such as heroin and cocaine, that makes it just additionally more dangerous. This drug, again, is used in the medical field. It's used in the OR, where I'm a surgically certified physician assistant also. And it is used in the operating room, and it is used in drug and pain control clinics, but it is prescribed only. And so you have to consult a doctor to get it. This is when it's done legally. So the drug was created because we wanted to be able to, man-made, wanted to be able to make this work better. More is not better, as we know. And so then when a person is on a narcotic and they get to the point where they need more and more and more, some smart scientists decided we're going to make a synthetic opioid called fentanyl. Good in its inception, good in its construction. However, every drug that we have in the pharmacy is potentially on the street.
Yes, yes. And so that means we got bathroom chemists trying to recreate what man has evolved in the fentanyl, and you got it getting out from all kind of places now then, huh? And
correct.
Being smuggled.
Correct. We have fentanyl producing plants, like everything else that is made outside of the official capacity, such as the iPhone. We got people making iPhones in Japan. We got people making iPhones in other countries like India and all other name brand items. We have people making the counterfeit. And so just like with the computers, those who created the computer, the reason why we have computer viruses is because of those who were working in the field that turned rogue or needed money. And so now they are making viruses to get in computers. The people who made the computer can tell you how to break into the computer. So I say that to say that not only is it slipping out because patients are prescribed the medication and they sell it, but also medical personnel such as pharmacists and physicians are turning to the dark side, you may say, selling this medication. And every medication we have in the pharmacy has a problem with that. but fentanyl being out on the street. Now then, we also have these labs, like you said, the bathroom labs. Well, we have very, very, very professionally developed labs that are creating this fentanyl on the street. And that being said, it is not regulated like all of our medications are and our drugs are. It is not regulated. And so the dosing within the fentanyl is off the chart. And I have a statement that one pill can kill. This drug is known as Apis on the streets, China Girl, Chinatown, Dance Fever, Friend, Goodfellas, Great Bear, He-Man, Jackpot, King Ivory, Murder 8, Poison, Tango and Cash, and I'm sure many, many, many more names it goes by. This drug is slipping into our grade schools in the form of candies. And you know, people are handing kids things on the street and they take it into the school. And the kids, because of the colorful nature of the pills looking like another opioid, it then is taken and we are finding these emergencies on the street.
What does it do to the body when it's taken? If you snort it, how is it digested in the body?
So the drug can be consumed many ways. It's snorted, it's sniffed, it can be smoked. Oral pills, which is one of the more common, and tablets. It can be spiked onto blotting paper where when it's mixed, and most often that's done in a compounding pharmacy or like say on the street. Blotting paper, like a wax paper, they make up this little compound and they blot it on the paper and you just take it and put it on your tongue and it's distributed that way. It's also in patches and it's also sold alone or in combination with heroin and substances out on the street. So we have what we call the fake pills that are mimicking the pharmaceutical drug of oxycodone. Oxycodone comes in many colors because of its dosing. Whatever its milligram is, that's the color. Blue, pink, yellow, red, so on and so forth. And so that color draws children. It draws people in. So when this drug is taken, almost in any form, it's going to cause a stupor. You know, it can cause obviously the change into the change in the pupil dilation or constriction, clammy skin, cyanosis of the skin, which is a blue coloration. A person can lapse into a coma, respiratory failure, which is the most common, and then death. And so the drug really causes relaxation. It's a pain medication. So it gets into the pain receptors and it helps to relax the pain wherever it's caused from in the human body. It can also cause euphoria. And so while some people may seem going into a depressed state, some people are more in a more euphoric state. So this is the picture of the person that's seen on the street that seems to be creeping and crawling and just twisting and turning and all that. That's some of the bad, that is the bad fentanyl. And then it obviously gives pain relief. So it causes sedation, confusion, drowsiness, dizziness, nausea, vomiting, urinary retention, where you can't go to the bathroom because it's locking up the muscles there. Pupillary constriction and respiratory depression. And so the triad we look for is a person who has pinpointed pupils, respiratory depression, and they have seemed like to have passed out into a coma state. That's highly suspicious of an opioid intoxication. And while on the street, you don't wonder, you don't guess about it. You use the medication that we prescribe for that, and that's naloxone.
Okay. And I hear they got this Narcan. Good is that? Is that well received in the communities? Are people being trained to use it?
It works. It definitely works. Narcan works by blocking the receptors that the fentanyl would get onto in the body, so that it helps to block the effect of the medication. The quicker it's given, nasal, the little small nasal distributor, the quicker it's given and given properly in both nostrils, then it is effective. One of the key things with the medication is that you have to have more than one. So previously, you know, they would give it to the medical personnel to carry, police officers, firemen, things like that, because they come up on these scenes of person passed out. Once they identify the triad previously mentioned of the pinpointed pupils, the respiratory depression, seemingly in a coma where you can't wake them, then they open the medication, they engage the medication, and they distill it into the nasal cavity. It has to be, and it only lasts for so long. That's the problem. Originally, it was given out, and you gave out one. Now, the best thing is to, they're dispensing, after training, you can get dispensed two of those medication vials, antidote, I'll say. And okay. So if you give it to someone and you're in a situation where it's taking the paramedics or whoever longer to get to you, it most likely is going to have to be given a second time.
Okay.
And if you don't have that second dose to give, they lapse right back into the effect of the medication and can die.
So the overdoses that we have had in our own county, Kenosha County, has been tremendously affecting our community, right?
Correct.
I remember 2 months ago, we had 12 people in Kenosha County, and we're a small county of 86,000 just in our city. Mm-hmm. So is that alarming to anyone at any level that we need to do something different other than the criminal approach? Or is that the only approach that we have right now, is to prosecute and find those who are distributing it?
Right now, I think it's a scramble effect going on, in that, yes, it is highly alarming. We sitting here in Kenosha County, we also have Racine County, and we have Rockford and
Milwaukee.
Well, we're in the middle of the highway. You got Chicago and Milwaukee. We are right in the middle of the highest trafficking of this drug, between Chicago and Milwaukee, along with human trafficking. Mm-hmm. So when you look over at Beloit and down across the border into Rockford, and you look here at Racine and down across the border into Lake County, this is the stopping point between Chicago and Milwaukee. So
yes,
it's not surprising that these numbers, what is surprising is that they're not going higher. And so the DEA and all those involved in trying to stop this epidemic, they're at high pace.
Oh, God. So when you have, as a family member, what should a family member look for if they're trying to be on the lookout for somebody in their family who may be suffering? Is just the dilation of the eyes and the breathing?
A person who is using fentanyl correctly. Fentanyl, as we said before, distributed various ways, pills, tablets, and it can be sniffed. If you think of a pencil lead, the end of a pencil, and you were to dip that into the fentanyl powder, all right, and you pull that pencil up and you have it kind of clumped on the top of that pencil lead, that is enough fentanyl to kill a person.
Mm.
And so what do you look for? First of all, let's go back. It starts with communicating with your family members, your teenagers, your elderly, whomever. Stay in communication with them, talking to them. And so then you can better recognize if there's something going on, if they're struggling with something. I don't know that a person just goes out and takes fentanyl. Well, they do, but usually a person is trying to cover something up. They're coping with something. And so when you start to see behavioral changes, because by the time you get to the effects of the drug, you're calling 911 or you're calling the mortician. So instead of looking for the effects of the drug, you should know the triad. A person who is deeply respiratory depressed, they're not breathing normally, they have collapsed, you cannot arouse them, you open up their eyes and you see pinpointed pupils. You think fentanyl opiate overdose right now, call 911, and you should have the Narcan with you. And so the biggest thing in helping to fight this crisis is to train individuals how to use Narcan and to get it prescribed out to families. I think it's even going to get to the point where you just go to the pharmacy and purchase, and they actually are giving it out in some cases. so that anyone who comes upon a person who has passed out unwitnessed, no one knows why, and you see they're not breathing well, you can't arouse them, you dose the fentanyl, you call 911.
Yes. I have seen in Racine, they have vending machines with Narcan in them so that people can access it quickly in high usage areas, usually in low income areas. They have machines at some of the places to be able to get that Narcan.
And right.
Have you seen the schools start to talk about it in the schools or in the community centers or any of the places that you may have frequent as a doctor?
Yeah, the schools definitely are, especially at the college level and to the high school level. But this has to go all the way down to grade school. Again, if it is not, depending on the form that people are getting a hold of in the grade schools, it is candy. It's the multicolored, looking like Chiclets or Skittles, things of that nature.
Skittles.
One pill can kill. And I tell my children, my grandkids, don't not take nothing from nobody. I had to keep pushing it in their mind. Don't take anything. Policemen and fire department and whomever, when you're approaching someone who you think may have come in contact with an opioid, and we're going to think fentanyl, number one, we have to be cautious too. You're on the street. If you're a policeman, a fireman, paramedic, you have on gloves, right? So touching that person and you coming in contact with the fentanyl, because the fentanyl that is distributed in the transdermal patches that is are the paste to rub on your skin to transmit through, that's the highest dose. And while you're trying to help someone pass out, you become the victim yourself.
Yeah.
And so we have to be very, very cautious. And so, yes, it is. The education is going all the way down and all the way up. Even I heard last week, recently, even in the nursing home, a woman found in the nursing home dead, and it was due to fentanyl.
Was it a patch?
It was a patch.
Yes.
And the thing about the patch is this. The patch, you would imagine, over the pill, when you swallow a pill, it goes in your system, it digests it, and it dissolves in your stomach and gets absorbed. The patch has to get in your system. So its strength has to be much, much higher than the pill. Again, 100 times higher. But even after a person who's been prescribed a transdermal patch and has it wherever the pain site is, even after wearing that patch for 3 days, it still has 50% of its potency left. And so people, while the pain now is controlled and gone, they're selling those patches and they're chewing those patches, chewing the patches to get the medication out of. And again, one pill can kill. This is a highly potent drug.
Yes. Yes. I know when we talk about celebrities, that's what Prince supposedly died from was the patch. And they found that out. But when you're having those type of the dosage, how do you regulate the dosage of a patch?
The dose of the patch is regulated. All the medications that are made commercially by Food and Drug Administration, those are regulated. The dosing is proper. And when it's used proper, there's not a problem. It's when it gets on the street, number one, and then when it gets into these labs who have learned how to now synthesize or to make the drug, there is no regulation in it. A little powder on the tip of a pencil lead can kill a person.
Yes.
Now, when you're mixing that, what's the regulation? How are they doing this to be able to regulate? This is 20 milligrams. This is 2 milligrams. This is 5 milligrams. They have no control. And so back to your story about Prince. Prince was on the patch for pain, but he also had pills. And the new information that has come out is that the pills between Atlanta and him getting back to Minneapolis, in Atlanta, they think his pills were mixed with other pills. He had the opioid pills, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were mixed because people can make them to look exactly like the prescribed drug. And on the plane, he took a medication, and they had to land that plane somewhere in Illinois, and he passed away.
Yes, yes.
So while he did have the patch, that wasn't the source. with further investigation, it was someone spiked his pill bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, a sad story, sad story. When you talk about fentanyl, and when you talk about just the little bit that it takes to kill, and you think about how many people, being a counselor, a substance abuse counselor, and hearing the stories of that's the dope I wanted to find that killed him, or the dope that he used is the dope that I needed, because if I'll regulate it so that I don't die. I just want the buzz that I get from it. And it's just this insidious way in thinking that the drug make you think.
Well, it's addictive, so that you're going to need more. You want it. Now, this is a drug where you can't get more because it's already at its top and it's killing folks. So the person who wants more, a better high, one pill, they're out of here. One dosing, they're out of here. Chew the patch. And it interacts with you in a way that you don't know, because it being synthesized outside of official laboratories, it can kill you. The dosing we know when we prescribe it, but it's always that it's not going to be me. I can handle this. No one can handle fentanyl in their bad, in the wrong hands, or when taken wrong. Yeah. No one.
So is there a way in your mind that it can be kept off the streets and used properly? Or is that a bygone conclusion that we just can't stop what doesn't happen?
If we shut down prescribing it today, if we stop prescribing the medication, if we lock all the doors in Fort Knox, all the medication, and lock all the doors of the official laboratories, we are still in trouble because of the unofficial laboratories, the underground manufacturing. That's where the greatest danger is coming.
Wow.
And they counterfeited to look just like the real deal. And everyone in their desperation needs either the high or the pain relief. Doctor won't prescribe it because you've used what I gave you. I can't prescribe it again until this time frame. Well, I got to be suspicious now, because why are you out so quickly? Are you selling it? And most drugs are shared, even diabetic medication.
Yeah, yeah. And that's coming from the coast, wherever there's a water route, and you can smuggle. So our borders are not secure as well as they should be, per se, and we won't be able to stop it.
So we have our southern border, and we're bringing all the refugees and so on and so forth that are coming. The migrants are coming in from all over the world. They're not just from Mexico and South America.
Right.
That's where they're coming to, from other countries, and they're coming across the border. We have the honest, those trying to escape whatever in their country. And then we have those mixing in, and our greatest threat right now, fentanyl, is coming across that southern border. San Diego, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas is the worst. And so then they are infiltrating here. Now we're busing them all over to LA, to Chicago, to New York, to Miami, to place them in 5-star hotels. And some of these people are mules and trafficking fentanyl and other substances. Yeah. And while we're looking one way, trying to get it stopped in our country, it's coming in, and we're leaking all over the place. It's coming in all kind of ways.
Yeah. And because there's a need, there's a desire to have, there's a demand, I should say.
That
so
addiction.
Where there's a demand, then there's a need, and there becomes a supply.
Right. And so on the street, when I have this fentanyl powder that I didn't get from the official lab, I got it from the unofficial lab, which now I don't even know the potency of it. We already know the official potency is 100 times greater, at 50 to 100 times greater. So now I can take that, and if I want to make more money, I pinch off of it and create my fake pills, not knowing how much is in there, and you're killing folks.
Yeah.
This crisis is the worst we've seen.
Yeah. Have they talked about any legislation about crime and sentencing if caught with it? Is there any news that you heard about that?
Other than what's already out, the maximum, and they're trying to get to, they cut the deals trying to get to the supplier, which is going to be hard to do. Supplier is hidden under many, 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 many layers. Supplier is hidden in plain sight. in what might be a plant producing cell phones can also be producing fentanyl. It's coming in on planes and things of that nature. So the problem is because we created it and we let the cat out the bag, and our own people are adding to getting it on the streets. When I say our own people, I'm talking about medical field. Just like any field, you got people that just want to make that extra dollar, I guess. And
so you got the medical model for the physical side of it. What is the psychological side treatment that you would suggest or recommend for us in the counseling to offer these folks who come to us?
Well, like recovery from any substance abuse, alcohol, it's the same model. The thing is to getting the key is to get a hold of the person, be able to then get them positively to accept the fact that I'm going to recover, and then go from there. So before fentanyl, you've dealt with other opioids, correct?
Yes.
You've dealt with substance abuse, alcohol, correct?
And yes.
That's difficult in and of itself. So then you imagine fentanyl, synthetic opioid, that's 50 to 100 times greater. So now the struggle you had there just became 50 to 100 times greater because of the addiction to the medication.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. And that just thinking in that arena, 50 times more addictive than the traditional standard drugs, mm-hmm. and dealing with that, going back out in the world to handle the willpower of self and the temptation is very tough. So you've been a part of ministry. Do you think ministry could have a different effect, or do we just continue to use a didactic product of it and do what we can?
No, ministry is definitely the key, because prevention is better than trying to treat.
Yes.
Treating and trying to get you out of that slum or that dive is harder. And so getting the education out to people from kindergarten up, we had to figure out ways to teach kids about not doing this, not taking this, staying away from strangers, and so on and so forth. And they get slick. They put it on paper, stick it on your windshield, you grab it, there you are. You're knocked out because it was fentanyl-laced paper. So prevention is where we have to push. We have to push to communication, as I said earlier, communicating with family members before they can slump into that, knowing when your child, your daughter, your son, or whoever is acting different. And if we can catch it before they get there, that's going to be what's going to help break this cycle.
Yes. Well, Dr. Nelson, you've given us a lot of great information. I want to thank you for coming on the show and giving us everything you did, because we need this. This prevention piece is really something that we need to probably push a lot more, even in our treatment facilities, so that people can get a better understanding of this fentanyl use, because it's tremendously hurting our community and the people in our communities at all levels. There was a month there that almost every day in my treatment facility, somebody knew of someone who died from fentanyl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just ruining families. It just ruined families. Mothers just don't know what to do, and fathers throwing their hands up, and family members.
It's on the news every day, every day. And every backing day. Up to ministry, we got to become aware in the church. We must be aware of the natural components and the spiritual components. We can pray for everything. The word of God is powerful. It can help to heal if a person can grab hold to it. But what we have to also be aware of, when a person comes in and they want prayer and help, we may be seeing not what is a mental challenge, a spiritual challenge. We may be seeing a substance abuse issue happening right in front of us.
Yes, I agree.
And know what to do and how to teach and preach and talk to people dealing with this crisis.
I agree. And a lot of times that's where a lot of people come in out of the rain, because of the pain of drug or alcohol abuse or just abuse in itself, and dealing with that trauma, coming to church to try to find a place to get some help, the hospital per se, then we have to deal with that. And
right,
yeah, you have to be skilled enough to recognize, because you, like you said, you could touch somebody who could be fitting all lace coming in the church, and if you ain't careful, you can go.
While you laying hands, you can be on the floor too.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Well, yes. Well, any final words that you'd like to give?
No, other than to say what we just said, and that the education piece needs to get out there.
Okay.
Awareness and prevention. Awareness and prevention is the key in any and every and all crises.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Well, we'd like to thank our audience. I hope you got a lot out of this podcast episode. We really enjoy bringing them to you, and any of the current topics that we have in our world, from ministry to criminal thinking deterred to anything that you desire to hear, we're going to try to be talking about. God bless you and take care.
You've been listening to Criminal Thinking Deterred with Tony Moore. Visit our website, www.criminalthinking.net. Follow Criminal Thinking on Facebook and Instagram. Also, listen, follow, and download Criminal Thinking Deterred on the major podcast channels. Thank you, and have a productive day.